Today's gospel reading deals with Jesus' parable of the wedding banquet and its guests. The parable is found in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. I want to focus on the characters of this parable. There are six to be examined. First, the king corresponds to God the Father. Second, the Son, who is God the Son, Jesus. Third, the servants, the prophets, and the scriptures, who are calling those into the wedding feast. Then there are four, those who were initially invited, and there are three subgroups here. Those who refused the invitation outright, those who made light of it and returned to their daily activities, and then those who seized the king's servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. Of note, those who seized and killed the servants had the same fate as the wicked tenants in a previous gospel reading. Another view of the Jewish rejection: those who rejected the invitation are also those of the parable of the two sons, which preceded today's gospel reading. The two sons were asked by their father to go into the vineyard and work that day. The first son said, "I will not." But afterwards he repented and went. The second son answered his father, "I go, sir," but he did not. Jesus concludes the parable of the two sons. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that the tax collectors and the harlots go before you into the kingdom of heaven. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him. But you, while seeing, later did not change your mind and believe in him." What did the tax collectors and the harlots, who were the most despised people among the Jews, accept and the Jewish leaders rejected? Turn to St. Luke's Gospel. "And he, John, went into all the surrounding region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. The harlots and the tax collectors came to John, believing him, accepted his baptism, and entered into salvation." Rejecting the message, and because of their arrogance and hardness of heart, the Jewish leaders receive this payment for killing the prophets and ultimately the Son of God. The king was angry and sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. The same fate is recorded in the parable of the wicked tenants. Both foretell the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The parable of the wicked tenants additionally states that all spiritual authority and all spiritual offices were stripped of them, the Jews, and given to others, being the church of the Gentiles. Our Lord says this, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing its fruits." Let me return to the cast of characters. Who then were called? Those who are in the highways, in the byways, in the alleys, the Gentiles and the unwashed masses. And the contrast of evil and good is also noted of those assembled in the wedding banquet. And in the last days there will be a sorting of the wheat and weeds. These were gathered together, all of them, and the wedding hall was filled with those seated as guests. This is a picture of recapitulation, the gathering together of all and all things into Christ and into his kingdom. Finally, we come to the sixth character, the most interesting guest, the mysterious guest who had no wedding garment. The parable reads, "But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to them, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Well, what about the wedding garment? Well, A wedding garment would have been supplied by the king to the rough and tumble crowd that assembled, or anyone who would have come to his wedding. And those garments were far better than those normally worn by those who lived along the roadsides. What does the garment represent? From the antiphon of any feast, we have this: As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Alleluia. It is Christ whom we have put on. We also see the picture of the white baptismal garment worn by the newly illumined, especially as they approach to receive their first Holy Communion of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. We also have the reality of spiritual cleansing, and we look to the sacraments. By baptism, we are joined to Christ, and by it, we are cleansed of our sins. Chrismation, we receive the seal of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. Eucharist, which furthers our union in Christ and also cleanses us and is the seed for us of eternal life. We have this insight regarding the wedding garment from St. Paul. I read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Put off the old man that belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new man, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Why did that mysterious guest not wear the wedding garment provided that would have been provided to him? In his 69th homily on St. Matthew's Gospel, St. John Chrysostom notes this. This is about the man, the mysterious man without the wedding garment. Simply put, he would not put off the old man and put on the new man. He wanted the kingdom of God on his own terms. He would not repent of his life in the world. He would not walk in the ways of Christ. The wedding hall and the banquet. Those of the parable were gathered into it properly clothed to sit at table. That would be the Eucharist for us. So we are gathered together here into the kingdom of God. We are all called to be here, and we all responded. Once we were scattered, lost in sin, death, darkness, and alienation. But now we were gathered together here in the kingdom of God, and it is at a price. We were gathered together here at a great price, the price of the broken body and shed blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must take into account this as instructed by St. Paul from the 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are holding your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? The test. It's simple. Having come to faith in Christ and having been baptized into Christ, are we habitually insisting on our own way? Are we habitually unrepentant, holding on rebelliously to the sins that we hold so dear? Are we unwilling to struggle and to enter into increasing purity of heart and walk more completely in the ways of Christ? If so, do not come to the Eucharist. But, if you are struggling in and by faith to put off the old man and put on the new man, then come and receive the body and blood of Christ in communion. The Eucharist. It is for our cleansing and for our victory over sin and death, the corruption that still resides in us. Remember, also, we all have a garment. And then sometimes that garment might become soiled and dirty, but it can be cleansed of sins. Recently, I was at a restaurant, or maybe a Starbucks, I can't remember. I was there meeting someone, and I had this really nice white linen shirt on. And of course, what do? I spill coffee all over myself. I can't take myself anywhere. But once I got home, I didn't continue to wear that coffee-stained shirt day in and day out. I put it in the laundry, and it was cleansed. So we have the forgiveness of God when we confess our sins, and so we are cleansed. The stains are removed, and we're made new. And we have the Eucharist to cleanse us and fortify our faith and union in Christ, because we are to be walking in the beautiful garments of the kingdom of heaven, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.